This is Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole, with your host Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Sue and Cole provide their clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here with the financial information you need are Sue and Cole.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. My name is Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management, and as usual, I'm joined by my mom, Sue Bushka, from Bushka Retirement Solutions, as well as our co-host, Tony Shore. Now, listeners out there, if at any point during today's show you want to get a little bit more information about what we're talking about, feel free to give us a call at 715-355-4445, or of course you can visit our website, retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. Of course, while you're at the website, be sure to check out our radio page. You can check out some of our past shows there. Subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Amazon Music. You can also check out some of our previous TV show episodes. We've got some new ones out there for you to take a look at. And also lots of other resources on the website, including the ability to schedule that no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Now, in the last handful of years, we've seen numerous news stories discussing what's been dubbed the Great Wealth Transfer. The wealth transfer consists of baby boomers handing off the assets that they've built to their kids and grandkids. So during today's show, we're actually going to discuss ways that older people may be able to hand off their assets in thoughtful and strategic ways. But before we pivot to today's topic, let's make sure to introduce everyone here with us today. Sue and Tony. Tony, how are we doing this morning?
I am great, Cole. Thanks for asking. I've had a good week. Just keeping really busy. Again, busy with fall things, trying to arrange everything, my schedule, so I'm ready for the end of the year. I have a lot of traveling I have to do for work between now and the end of the year, so there's that. But otherwise, I'm great. Sue, how have you been?
Oh, I've been doing great, keeping busy as always. You know me, always on the go.
Yeah, you are. You always have something going on.
I usually do. There's never a dull moment in this girl's life.
Yep. You're usually, you like to spend time with your grandchild, I know, and you're busy.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren, plural, sorry.
Yes.
Your grandchildren, and you're busy there at the office. And, you know, you like to get away, too, and get out once in a while. So I think that's a really good thing. Now, we are headed into the colder weather, unfortunately, aren't we?
Yeah, unfortunately.
No more camping, right? Or I guess when you have an RV, you can go camping year-round.
You could, technically.
You could, but I think we're done. We're parking ours now for the winter.
Yeah. I don't know too many people that go camping in this neck of the woods during the winter, even if they have an RV, I guess. That would be
I don't either.
A little difficult.
No, most of those that have the RVs are taking them south.
Yes.
In the winter.
Yeah, exactly.
They
They're taking them south or storing them. Cole, speaking of going south for the winter, how are you doing?
Doing well. Unfortunately, I won't be joining all of those people that are snowbirding and getting ready to leave. I know there's lots of people that are getting ready to get out of here and settle in down in their southern homes before the snow flies up here in Wisconsin. But sadly, I won't be joining them this year. I've got to stay back here and continue meeting with clients and helping people plan for their retirement.
Yeah. And snow flies, that could happen any day.
You never know here in Wisconsin. Well, you're in Minnesota, so it usually happens to you first.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not much different there, though. I mean, Wausau area, you get your fair share of snow.
Yeah,
that
we sure
true.
Do.
And cold. Well, you know what? I'm excited for today's topic. We're talking about strategies to transfer your wealth to your kids. Where do you want to begin with this one, Sue?
Well, Tony, there was a Kiplinger article entitled Three Ways Parents Can Transfer Wealth to Help Their Kids. And it has some really interesting insights how you can transfer your assets in ways that may not burden their your heirs with extra taxes. Now, the first possibility is custodial accounts. Now, when a child is still young, some parents open a Uniform Transfer to Minors Act account, called UTMA for short, or a Uniform Gifts to Minors Act account, otherwise known as UGMA. Now, these accounts are typically open to save the cash kids receive for their birthdays and holidays. And when the child is still a minor, the custodian named on the account controls all the assets. But when the custodianship terminates, often when the child is between the ages of 18 and 25, legal control will fall to the child. Now, if the account has a significant amount of money, it may not be the wisest move to give a child, especially one around the age of 18, access to that much cash.
Well, yeah, I would say so. If you'd given me a lot of cash when I was 18, it would have been gone fairly quickly.
It'd be gone.
I mean, even, you know, if you hand an 18-year-old thousands of dollars, probably not a good idea, even if they're a great kid, right?
Oh, absolutely. You got to be cautious with that. Luckily, there are some options to avoid that particular scenario. Now, an alternative structure like a trust, a limited liability company, or a limited partnership are ways to potentially transfer a custodian account's assets instead of passing them directly to a child. Now, if done correctly, utilizing one of these alternatives may provide new and longer lasting controls for these assets. Now, lastly, if when your child is young, you anticipate that a custodial account would eventually have a considerable amount of money in it, you may want to focus on a trust structure from the get-go. Now, be aware that these alternative strategies are dependent on state laws as well as your unique family circumstances. So you should go over your options with a financial services professional and a legal professional long before your child reaches the age when they'll be granted access to those funds.
Well, most parents, I think, are driven to do everything they can for their kids. So working with financial professionals like yourselves to help secure a child's future assets is a very good move, in my opinion.
Exactly, Tony. And funding a child's educational or medical expenses may be another way to prudently transfer some of your assets. Now, many folks, particularly high net worth people, may be inclined to simply write their kids a check for these expenses, but that could bring about estate tax or gift tax issues. A better option may be to directly pay the educational or medical institution. In this scenario, you may be able to utilize the IRS's qualified transfer rule, which is part of Section 2503E and dictates that direct payments made to a child's educational or medical institution may be excluded from federal gift tax rules. And additionally, this kind of direct payment may also mean your available annual exclusion and lifetime exemption amounts wouldn't be reduced. Now, the annual gift tax exclusion amount is presently $17,000 per individual, and the lifetime gift exemption amount is currently $12.92 million per individual over a person's lifetime. So be sure to discuss this option with your financial services professional and your tax professional.
Yeah. You're going to need that team assembled and work with a financial advisor like yourselves because you need to make sure you don't make costly mistakes when it comes to taxes and all of these things. I mean, when it comes to your kids' education, I think that's really important. Now, Cole, what do you have for us next?
Well, Tony, let's talk a little bit more about trusts. If your child is the beneficiary of a trust fund, it may seem perfectly reasonable to make distributions from the fund to assist your child. You may even consider ditching the trust altogether once your child reaches adulthood, but that may not be the best strategic move. One alternative to simply taking cash out of a child's trust fund is using some of its cash to purchase assets for a child. For example, if one of your kids is ready to buy their first home, instead of giving them cash from the trust itself may be able to purchase the home and become the property owner. Then the child would then live in the home rent-free. In this example, the home is an asset of the trust and therefore has the same creditor protection as its other assets. Now, this may be helpful if the child one day runs into creditor issues or possibly goes through a divorce.
Well, sure. And are there potential tax benefits then to going this route?
Well, if your child doesn't need the money in the trust at any point during their life, leaving those assets untouched within the trust means that they wouldn't be included in the child's own estate for the purpose of estate taxes after their death. And that may benefit their own heirs. Now, of course, this is all dependent on how the trust is structured, which makes working with legal experts essential.
Well, Sue, that's really important. Now, we should probably take a quick break here. Cole, do you have anything to add for our listeners before the break?
Well, Tony, just a reminder for our listeners that when it comes to planning for gifting money to their heirs or making sure that their legacy plan is in order and structured as efficiently as possible, they do not have to do that alone. They can give us a call and work with one of our advisors at 715-355-4445. And they can schedule, of course, in our Wausau or Eau Claire office, or they can schedule virtually. And in addition to that, they can also do that right on the website, retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com.
Do you feel prepared for retirement? Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka work to help people navigate the uncertainties of retirement strategies. If you would like help understanding complex topics like Social Security, tax deferral, or growing your nest egg, visit their website at retirewithbushka.com or give their office a call at 715-355-4445.
Welcome back to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. I'm here with Sue Bushka and Cole Bruner, our hosts. And Sue and Cole, great show today. You've been talking about ways that we can effectively transfer some of our assets to our kids. And in the first segment, you talked about custodial accounts, funding educational and medical expenses for them, and setting up trusts. What do you have for us in this segment?
Well, Tony, another Kiplinger article entitled Four Tax Smart Ways to Share the Wealth with Kids can really help with today's subject. Now, we discussed custodial accounts in detail during the segment, but the second article makes a point that we haven't yet addressed. And this is that these accounts may be considered taxable to the child. Now, this could be a complication if investment income is sufficient enough that the so-called kiddie tax kicks in, which could make the child's income taxable at a larger rate than yours, and similar income brackets for non-grantor trusts. And don't forget that your state may have a lower threshold than the federal government, and that could trigger another kiddie tax. So you should really work closely with your financial services professional and tax professional on this one.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. So it seems like every one of our financial options here should be weighed against possible tax implications, which means it's also important to work with a financial professional.
Well, that's right, Tony. And I would mention also making sure that your financial professional is working directly with a tax professional, because
yes,
certainly there are some potential tax implications there. Now, let's next consider 529 plans. These plans are designed to use gifted funds for educational costs. Now, among other things, allowable expenses include tuition, required books and fees, a computer and software, and even on or off campus room and board if the student is enrolled at least half time. Now, a 529 account is potentially beneficial because income removed from this account isn't hit with federal income taxes as long as the expenses that money is used for are qualified. Now, in some cases, gains may also be non-taxable under your local and state laws, but that's something that you'd want to make sure that you confirm with a tax professional first. Now, with a custodial account, Now, as with a custodial account, a 529 permits you to choose who will manage its funds so that the beneficiary of the account doesn't have direct control of the money. Unlike a custodial account, however, a 529's beneficiary never gains an absolute legal right to the money. from a tax standpoint, while contributions to a 529 account still qualify for the annual gift tax exclusion, they also provide gift and estate tax planning opportunities for you and your financial services professional. These opportunities include allowing you to make front-loaded gifts for as much as 5 years without using your lifetime estate tax exemption. Now, lastly, with a 529 account, you can also change the beneficiary, which gives you the flexibility as additional kids and grandkids seek out higher education.
Yeah, in fact, we have 529s for our children. We had those. And I think it's a great idea. And if a college is a child or a grandchild's plan, that 529 account is worth consideration at least, right, Sue?
That's right. And another potentially beneficial way to share your wealth with your kids is through a child IRA. Now, in the eyes of the IRS, a child IRA is no different than an IRA you or I could have. Now, contributions to the account must be made with earned income, which means gifts can't be used. So if a child is earning money they don't immediately need, a child IRA may provide some long-term benefits. Now, as with IRAs for adults, a child IRA may be traditional or a Roth. Now, a traditional IRA permits immediate deductions from income taxes when a contribution is made, which means no principal or income is subject to taxes until the child begins withdrawals, which ideally isn't until they're retired. Now, on the flip side, a Roth IRA includes no immediate tax deductions, but the income earned on the assets in a Roth IRA will be tax-free. So if withdrawals don't begin until the child reaches at least the age of 59 and a half and has held the Roth account for a minimum of 5 years.
So traditional and Roth IRAs have their own unique pluses and minuses. We've talked about those on the show before. So if you aren't sure which one is the right fit for yourself, a child or grandchild, again, a great reason to reach out to Sue and Cole, right?
Absolutely, Tony. And let me add that while there are contribution limits and other requirements that you should consider before deciding, many consider a Roth IRA to be an ideal approach if you expect to hit a higher tax bracket in retirement. Obviously, many kids who currently have earned income are in a lower tax bracket, given that they're probably working a couple of days a week at a Dairy Queen or a Starbucks. Now, that means that as they age and earn more money, they'll likely reach higher tax brackets. And because of that, many child IRAs utilize a Roth strategy.
Right. Right. I can't tell you how many times I've went through the drive-thru at Starbucks and I've tried to leave a tip. And the young person working the drive-thru says, oh, no. I don't want to get into a higher tax bracket.
Right.
No, just kidding there. But yeah, I mean, our child IRAs, though, that's unique. I haven't really heard about that. Is there anything else we need to know about that, Sue?
Well, Tony, just as they do with custodial accounts, the assets in a child IRA must be exclusively used to the benefit of the child. Now, because the beneficiary will eventually have control of those assets when they reach adulthood, those creating an IRA on their own behalf should be confident the child will not give in to the temptation to dip into their account too early, which would activate a 10% early withdrawal penalty.
Yeah, and I know your office has special tools and processes you use to help people make that asset transfer process easier. Isn't that right?
That's right, Tony. We actually have an exclusive program called Enhanced Planning, Preserve Family Harmony, and Protect Your Legacy, which is packed with excellent information and advice about how you may be able to ensure that your assets go to the people and the causes that you care about in a way that honors your wishes and preserves your family unity. Now, do you think that you need to be rich to benefit from enhanced planning services? Think again. No matter how valuable or significant your assets are, not clearly or thoroughly spelling out your wishes before passing can lead to lasting family turmoil and a lot of hurt feelings after you're gone.
Well, I would imagine, right? There would be some hurt feelings there. Well, I think this has been a great show so far. What do you have for us, Sue, in our final segment today?
Well, we've mentioned the great wealth transfer a bit today, but we'd like to spend the rest of our time focusing today a little bit more closely on a Forbes article entitled "The Great Wealth Transfer from Baby Boomers to Millennials Will Impact the Job Market and Economy." And it nicely details this transformational economic event that's happening right now. So let's begin with some statistics. Baby boomers, or those born between 1946 and 1964, are currently the wealthiest generation in the world. Their average net worth presently falls between $970,000 and $1.2 million. Now, baby boomers and their parents from the silent generation, or what Tom Brokaw dubbed the greatest generation, will pass down an estimated $84.4 trillion in assets through 2045, with $72.6 trillion of that money going directly to their heirs. And that's according to a study by the financial market intelligence firm Cerulean Associates referenced in the article.
Wow. Those are some staggering numbers. I mean, $84.4 trillion passed down. That is going to make a bit of an impact there. I don't know what's more amazing, though, those numbers or the fact that Tom Brokaw, one guy, a newsman, got to name an entire generation, and it stuck.
And it
stuck. I've only heard it referred to as the greatest generation. I've never heard it referred to as the silent generation. Wow, Tom did that all on his own. I didn't realize that, I guess. But it is a staggering amount of money, isn't it, Cole?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of crazy when you really think about it. And now millions of baby boomers have already entered their retirement years, which means they're working to devise ways to transition their assets to their kids and grandkids. And when you consider that those baby boomers currently hold half the nation's household wealth, you can see what a monumental task that will be. Specifically, baby boomers are expected to leave an estimated $68 trillion to their kids, which will make millennials the richest generation in American history. This wealth transfer has the potential to radically transform life for the millennial generation, which has already faced recessions, astronomical college costs, unattainable housing prices, and a massively rising cost of living.
Yeah, my son and his wife, he recently got married and graduated. They are finding that out the hard way. It's kind of, it's tough right now. And whenever, Sue and Cole, whenever you hit us with that kind of information, I have to ask, are there any caveats?
Well, there are indeed, Tony. And while what we just shared is good news for millennials overall, there may be some miscommunication as to how much they expect to inherit and how much their parents anticipate leaving them. So, for example, the article references an Alliant Credit Union survey that found that millennials expect to receive an average inheritance of about $350,000. But that same survey reveals that 55% of baby boomers plan to bequeath less than that.
Now, on previous shows, you've been very thorough and transparent about healthcare costs. I mean, we've talked about that a lot. And they seem to only be on the rise. They keep going up and up. And when you factor that some retirees will need long-term care services, the majority, which are also very expensive, I think it's understandable that some baby boomers will choose to work as long as possible. Hopefully, those listening out there to the show today are working with financial professionals who can help relieve some of that anxiety and come up with a plan for them.
That's right. And while we can't be certain how much wealth millennials will inherit in the coming years, it appears likely that it will be a sizable enough amount to drive some very real economic change. Now, first, a significant transfer of assets to millennials may lead to a changing job market as some choose to tackle a dream entrepreneurship opportunity or simply choose to take time off and travel. Now, a new surge of wealth may also cause a spike in demand for luxury goods and services. Now, all told, this current and future wealth transfer will lead to millennials holding an estimated 5 times as much wealth in the 2030s as they currently have. Now, that may further mean more consumer spending, investment, and economic growth. And it's possible that the stock market will rise as more money is dedicated to investments.
Sure. And you know what? Obviously, it's important for people to understand developing strategies for this wealth transfer is something that your office can help people with, right, Cole?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. In addition to considerable industry experience and know-how, our office has the Enhanced Planning, Preserve Family Harmony, and Protect Your Legacy tool, which we referred to earlier in the show. The goal of this enhanced planning process is to construct a strategy that respects your wishes for your assets, prevents any confusion or family discord, and has you looking forward to retirement with less worry. But enhanced planning means more than just preserving family harmony, as important as that is. For example, did you know that if you don't make a plan for your assets, probate courts and the government may do it for you? And that means that your money may not make it to the people and organizations that you care most about. You may think that you don't need enhanced planning because your family knows exactly what your wishes are, but the reality is even the smallest of miscommunications or misunderstandings can lead to major family squabbles.
I would imagine so, and I think this is really an important topic just for that reason alone. You want to create family harmony, as you worded it, and you have plans and strategies to help our listeners out there do that. Is there anything you want to add for our listeners before we have to go today?
Well, Tony, just one final reminder for our listeners that they don't have to do this type of planning alone. If they have questions about that enhanced planning, preserve family harmony, and protect your legacy tool, and transferring wealth to your kids, please visit the website retirewithbushka.com or give our office a call at 715-355-4445 to discuss how our team might be able to help. Of course, our goal is to help in whatever way we possibly can, and that's what our skilled team of advisors is here to do.
All right. Thank you, Sue and Cole, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another great episode of Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole.
Thank you for listening to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Sue and Cole at Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. Call 715-355-4445 or visit them online at retirewithbushka.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.